Once again, you are here, WWGH 107.1 FM Radio, streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. If you would like to call in for questions or to make comments, please call 740-383-9944. Now, my name is Linda Sims, and the name of the program is called A Voice of a People. So welcome, everyone, near and far. We have a good show for you today, and we're talking about politics. You're probably sick of hearing about it, but it's not over yet, okay? So let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. We have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number, 740-262-0939. And last but not least, Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. And we have been giving a shout out to Pastor Jackie Peterson and her family. Her mother passed away over a week ago, and she had COVID, and some of the family members had got also infected with that pandemic, like the flu symptoms. And but anyway, through it all, they lost their mother, grandmother, auntie, great-grandmother, you know, a pillar in our community. Also, Jackie Peterson is a pillar in our community who wears many hats and on many organizations here in the city of Marion, Ohio. And we give you our condolences. We lift up our prayers for you and your family. And we thank you very much for your service. So may the Lord bless, keep you, and give you all peace. I have a thought for today, and it's titled Mindful Moments. So I'm only going to read a snippet of it because we got a on-fire show today. Most of us are of sound mind, but many of us have trouble maintaining a note of harmony and peace. Most of us know how to think, but few of us are able to control our thoughts. Well, I know how that may go. We all have the capacity to be creative, to imagine new ideas, but few of us are able to do it together and co-create in harmony with each other. We could all do with some mental training so that we may use the most powerful energy in the universe, the mind, which is always at our instant disposal. So keep that little bit in mind, and hopefully, if not the remainder of the day, or maybe next time on the air, I will finish that thought. Now I will turn my attention over to my guest today, Tim Combs. He is a former history teacher and a political historian. I call him when I need to be brought up to date, and my listeners, with what's going on in the political world. And how are you today, Tim?
Great. Good to be here.
Glad to have you here. Glad to have you here. And he's locked it and loaded, and he is ready to go. So what's on your mind today?
Well, like I say, we probably have enough to last about 2 hours in terms of about 45 minutes. But obviously got a lot going on. As yes. We're just 2 weeks away from General Election Day. Woo. Election Day has actually already really started. Actually, it's a kind of almost election month, if you will. Mm-hmm. I believe now all 50 states and the District of Columbia, early voting has started. As of yesterday, and I'm sure the numbers are going to be up again today, but as of yesterday, even I believe something like 32 million people throughout the United States had already early voted.
Okay.
Compared to 4 years ago when it was only about 6 million had early
some
voted.
States for early voting.
And so this is the, the voting is just incredible. The lines are long.
Already?
Yeah.
Even in Marion?
Early voting hours. people, of course, people returning their ballots via absentee ballot. Here in Marion already, and this is the number as of last night, and again, we don't know what the numbers are for today, but as of last night, already over 4,100 people had already voted early at the early voting center, and then altogether, as of last night, a total of 12,129 people had either voted early or had requested absentee ballots. Some of those ballots have already been returned
at
the drop-off box or at the Board of Elections or by mail or whatever people are doing. So I suspect that when this, well, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it, we are going to have a record turnout in Marion County, the state of Ohio, the nation. You know, 4 years ago, I brought with me the almanac, which gives me the numbers here. We had about 137 million people 4 years ago. I think this time we're going to look at something like probably, I wouldn't be surprised if it hits 150 million people. And actually, I've got from the World Almanac, they have the voter turnout in presidential elections going back to the 32 Roosevelt Hoover election up through 2016. And the voting age population, the high mark, the actual high mark in terms of percentage, actually was all the way back in 1964 in the race between Lyndon Johnson and Barry Goldwater.
Okay.
And at that time, over 69% of the voting age population voted. I think this time you could very easily be well into the 70% range or more, which would be a record at that time.
Okay.
In fact, probably we have not seen that kind of turnout maybe since the 1800s.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at record-breaking numbers.
Oh, wow. That's going to be exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it that people, I mean, when you see these long lines of voters, sometimes standing 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours in Georgia, Florida, whatever, Ohio. It's just incredible. And it's great. I mean, this is what
it is great.
Democracy. We've been talking over these last few months or years about voter suppression efforts. Well, whatever voter suppression efforts were out, they've obviously backfired big time because people are turning out in large numbers to vote in this election. And as I think some people call this an election, the fight for the very soul of the country, what kind of country we want over the next 4, 8, 10, 12 years, whatever. So some numbers, and I've just given here a note here a moment ago that so far the battleground states, something like 17 million people have already voted. I know there's about a dozen states that would be considered battleground states. Ohio is a toss-up. I mean, the numbers, the polling, it's what is referred to as a statistical tie, essentially. And let me just talk about the voting hours. This week, the week of October 19th to 23rd, the early voting center, which is behind City Hall, it's the old freshman building. My wife and I voted early last Tuesday morning. Very, very easy process going forward. But the voting hours this week are 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay.
Of those hours. Then this Saturday will be the first Saturday hours, and that is going to be between 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then this Sunday will be the first Sunday hours from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay.
And then next week, which is the week of October 26th to 30th, the hours are going to be 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's going to be open until 7. Then on October 31st, obviously Halloween, they're going to be open between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. for voting.
Okay.
And then, again, these are in-person voting hours. On Sunday, November 1st, the Sunday before the election, between 1 and 5 p.m., and then Monday, November 2nd, the day before the election, will be the last day to be able to vote in person at the early voting center. And those hours are going to be 8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay.
And so if you do not vote early in those hours by 2 p.m. on Monday, November 2nd, and you have not yet, and you have not turned in your... have not turned in an application for voting for absentee ballots, you will need to then actually vote election day, which is Tuesday, November 3rd, between 6:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. is the voting hours in the state of Ohio.
Okay.
So, the number of people that, and I'm just give a note here, I'm looking at it real quick. The share of ballots cast by voters who did not vote in their states 4 years ago, in 2016, 25, percent of people had not voted. Now that's down to 19%. So people, a lot of people who had not voted previously. My wife reads on Facebook that some people who had never voted in their lives
are voting.
And they were registered. And the ones in their 90s or everybody says over 100 got registered to vote and are voting in this election. So it's just, it is democracy at its finest hour.
Yes, it is. So. Whoa, it's at work. It's working.
Yeah. Let me get into a number of things. Let me kind of begin with maybe the local situation, then move on to the state and national level. We obviously have some very hot local races going on. I don't think anybody can be unaware of the race for sheriff between incumbent Democratic Sheriff Tim Bailey and his Republican challenger, retired city police officer Matt Bales.
Okay.
You see the signs everywhere. There's been a lot of publicity on that race.
Yeah, a whole lot of the signs he has
that
out.
That is a very highly contested race.
Oh, it is.
Race for clerk of courts, a race, an office which has had some problems in recent years. The former clerk, Ms. Cagle, has been charged by the state auditor with six counts.
No, that's not Kelly, right?
No.
Okay. She beat Kelly out, right?
The former clerk of courts who resigned.
Okay.
2 years ago. And she's been charged with the state auditor now by, I forget exactly what the charges are, about six charges dealing with office in her time as clerk of courts. Jessica Wallace, who is the one who was appointed 2 years ago, is a Republican incumbent. She's being challenged by Rob Coons, who is a bank officer and is the Democratic candidate.
Okay.
A very highly contested race in that contest. Then we have the two commissioners races, which have received some amount of publicity. Commissioner Kerr Murray, the incumbent Republican, being challenged by Lynn Thomas, who is currently a Marion Township trustee, was a former county commissioner back in the 1980s, a former member of the Board of Elections, is the Democratic candidate. Then the other commissioner's race, they run on separate terms there. Andy Appenfeller, a longtime Republican incumbent, being challenged by Tara Dyer, the Democratic candidate.
Right.
Again, as we see publicity on that race. I'm guessing Ms. Dyer is probably making the contest that it is time for a change. And Mr. Appenfeller has been there for 20 years, and some people may think it's time for somebody else to have a chance in that office. Because this looks like it's going to be a change election at this point.
Okay, all right.
And then we, of course, have races for the state legislature. You have Tiffany Roberts, who's a Democrat candidate in the 87th District against Tracy Richardson, the incumbent Republican. And, of course, overshadowing that legislative races is the scandal involving former House Speaker Larry Householder, the $60 million effort in terms of House Bill 6 dealing with energy that was approved a year ago. So that is receiving, you know, I'm sure, a lot of attention.
Right, right.
There's a state Senate race. The current state senator, David, his last name excuse me at this point, but anyhow, he's term limited. And so Bill Ranke, who's a state representative from up here in, I believe, Seneca County.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Schwartz, who was from Upper Sandusky, is the Democratic candidate. And they're in a contest there. You, of course, have Congress. So these races are locally are getting a lot of attention and a lot of people involved with those. We then move to the state and national contest. Obviously, the presidential contest is one to get a lot of attention. Basically, at this point, Joe Biden is considered to be the favorite to upend President Trump. He has double-digit lead. He's led consistently for months now. The numbers really have not budged at much.
Mm-hmm.
His disastrous debate performance at the end of September and then resulted in him contracting COVID-19.
Right.
He was off the trail for about a
week
or so.
Right.
And he really didn't get a whole lot of sympathy. And I think people feel it was he had made fun of the idea of people wearing masks.
I know.
Made fun of that. And that has cost him dearly. And what polling is beginning to show in many cases, senior citizens who are the ones who are very vulnerable to this this was a group that had supported him 4 years ago. They're not supporting him this time.
Oh.
And
that's not good.
Costing places like Florida and Arizona, which have large, in fact, Florida has the largest senior citizens
right.
group of any state in the country. And he is getting pushback from that group big time.
Right.
So,
right.
So we'll see on that. State of Ohio is a toss-up state. It is, I mean, you know, different polls are saying different things, and it's just, you know, very, very close.
So does that mean that Ohio won't end up being the state that pushes the president in?
We'll have to wait and see. That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
We'll have to wait and see.
Okay.
The bottom line is this. Joe Biden would have carried the states that Hillary Clinton carried.
Mm-hmm.
And those would be worth 232 electoral votes. If he carried the three states that Mr. Trump barely carried 4 years ago, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, which mm-hmm. he just barely, altogether those three states, he had about 77,000 more votes than Hillary Clinton in those three states together.
Okay.
Joe Biden were to flip those three states, that would be it. He would win this because that would, you need 270 electoral votes to win. Those states have 278 altogether.
Right.
And so anything else would be just gravy, if you will.
Right.
Right now, based on polling, Mr. Biden is well ahead in all three of those states, particularly Wisconsin, which is getting hit hard by the COVID disaster. And then in Michigan, of course, you had this situation, this bizarre thing of 2 weeks ago, this group that wanted to kidnap the governor of the state.
Can you believe that? I could not believe that.
And there are those who said the Michigan Republican Party is getting blowback on that one big time.
I bet they are.
And that has just kind of upset that whole situation in the state of Michigan.
Crazy.
And, of course, Pennsylvania. Joe Biden was originally from Scranton.
Right.
And his family, when he was about 9 or 10, moved down to Wilmington, Delaware. And that's, of course, where he lived and where he got his political start in Delaware. And so he's, doing well in that state. And,
right.
So we'll look at all that. Then there are also two state Supreme Court races in Ohio, two members of court. If Democrats should win both those seats, Jennifer Bruner and John Donnell, that could flip the state, control the state Supreme Court from Republican to Democratic for the first time since the mid-1980s.
Oh,
and,
that's
so,
been a long time.
If that, in fact, does happen.
In like 40 years.
Yeah. As I said, we've been reading a lot of things here. There is, of course, several major political prognosticators in the business who look at political contests. One of them is Dr. Larry Sabato at the University of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
He has what is called Sabato's crystal ball, which predicts races and looks at analysts throughout the Senate, the House, presidency. There is another group called Inside Elections, which is the old Stu Rothenberg, Nathan Gonzalez, Political Report,
mm-hmm.
and they do the same thing. But the one that I have been following for years is Charlie Cook, the Cook Political Report. In fact, he and Mr. Rothenberg have, you can subscribe to their political background. I almost decided to subscribe to Mr. Cook's report because they have certain items that you can only get to if you inside what they call behind their firewall.
Okay.
You have to be a subscriber. And I've been able to get into some of their information that I was not able to get into until I signed up 2 months ago and became a subscriber to their political report. Here about 8-9 days ago, one of his top reporters, Amy Walter, who writes for Mr. Cook.
So he's predicted.
He is a nonpartisan prognosticator and looks at the presidential race, all the Senate races that are running, the governor's races, the House races, and he has a staff that does there, especially in these areas.
Okay.
And Amy Waller is one of his major people that writes for him. And about 8-9 days ago, she got a column where she said that there were four things that Mr. Trump was looking at for this year's election. One is that he would have a united, enthusiastic Republican base. Two, that he would have a deeply flawed opponent who people could easily not like.
Mm-hmm.
Thirdly, that he would have independent voter support. And fourth, that there would be another third-party candidates who would be able to draw enough votes
away
that allow him to win what is called a plurality.
Right.
Now, the difference between a plurality and a majority is if a majority is you get 50% plus one. A plurality is you get more votes than anybody else, but it's not necessarily the majority. 4 years ago, for instance, in the presidential race, the third party candidates, namely the Libertarian Party candidate and the Green Party candidate in particular, but there were others, altogether, the third party candidates 4 years ago got 6% of the total popular vote.
Right.
Far more than usual. Usually, the third party candidates get maybe 1-1.5% altogether, okay, which is what I'm going to guess they're going to get this year. What happened was 4 years ago, for instance, the Libertarian candidate was Gary Johnson, a former Republican governor of New Mexico.
Okay.
And I'm guessing he received the votes of a lot of Republicans who couldn't vote for Mr. Trump, but they couldn't bring themselves to vote for Hillary Clinton, so they cast kind of a protest vote for him.
Okay.
This year, there is a Libertarian candidate, but he is not anything like this Governor Johnson. And the same with the Green Party.
Okay.
And so the result is, and apparently polling is showing that many of those third-party voters are going to vote for Mr. Biden in big, large numbers.
Otherwise, it's like a wasted vote.
Right? It is. And so I'm guessing the third-party vote this time will be down maybe 1-1.5%.
Right.
So about 98.5% of the vote will go for the two major party candidates.
This election is too important.
Yeah, that's true. And what happened was, as Ms. Walter said her column here about 8 days ago, even that Republican base, there is now some things that looks like some cracks in it, as whether he's getting this enthusiastic support.
Okay.
In fact, there is a video out today. There's a group called the Lincoln Project, and this is a group of anti-Trump Republicans who have, the last several, none of them are Republican strategists, who have put together a project, and they're openly backing Joe Biden for president. And one of their people that came out today and endorsed Joe Biden is former Republican National Chairman Michael Steele, African-American, former Lieutenant Governor of Maryland. He's a lifelong Republican, says I'm still a Republican, but he's backing Joe Biden and formally endorsed.
Yeah, he's
Joe
on MSNBC. Yes, I've heard him many times.
Made a video, and he said, he basically said, it's the difference, the choices between Mr. Trump and America, and he says, I'll choose America over Mr. Trump any day.
Of course.
So, and then he did not get the deeply flawed opponent. Obviously, Joe Biden is not Hillary Clinton.
He does not have
the animosity that she engendered.
No.
And so, bad, different, whatever, but that's just the way it is. And so, therefore, he did not have that going for him.
No, he doesn't.
Independent voter polling is showing independent voters are now backing Mr. Biden. They've shifted from Mr. Trump. And, again, the third-party effort just is not doing it. So, when you don't have that third-party vote, and I'll give you an example. Back in the race for president 4 years ago, just in the state of Pennsylvania, for instance, third-party candidates together had more than enough votes to have swung the state to Mr. Trump. And this time they're going to get probably minimal support. Same with Michigan, the same thing with that. And so that is a major factor. The other thing that she also pointed out was it would have also been good to have a good economy, which we don't have. Obviously, we are in a recession.
No. And something happened with that.
The numbers
are
just horrendous. People
have been pandemic,
thrown into poverty. It's just bad. And then the fact that the majority of the country feel you've mismanaged a major health crisis. I mean, this when he contracted COVID-19 here earlier this month, there was no sympathy because people generally felt, hey, you were the one making fun of people, Mr. Biden,
with COVID,
whoever,
right?
Wearing a mask.
Yes.
And then you get it.
Yes.
You know, what goes around comes around.
Yes.
You sow what you reap. And
that's
so,
true.
And so this is a, and that's likely why polling is showing senior citizens have abandoned Mr. Trump big time. And in fact, one of the gentlemen who was a senior beforehand was saying about he was down voting in Delaware County at their voting center here a day or two ago. And many of the people there who were senior citizens who have very strong voting records were not, they were making their views very well known, and it was not favorable to him.
Mm.
So that is, and then the other thing that came out today was Charlie Cook, the editor of this, owner of this publication, said now there is growing concern among many Republican strategists that many Republican voters may, in fact, become discouraged and not vote. That the presidential race, in their view, may be over. Therefore, they're just not going to come out and vote. And that could endanger other Republican voters, candidates on down the ballot.
That's true.
The battle for the control of the Senate. The House of Representatives has already decided months ago this House will stay Democratic.
Okay.
Nancy Pelosi will continue to be the Speaker.
Okay.
But the Senate, now the general consensus is the Senate is going to flip over to Democratic control. The only real question is how big that majority will be.
Right.
And generally the thinking is that there's probably one Democratic senator who's going to lose, likely. That's going to be Doug Jones in Alabama. Just not going to be enough for him to overcome a... I mean, Alabama likely is going to go for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
May not be by the margin that he had 4 years ago, but it probably enough that Senator Jones will not get reelected. But on the other hand, you have Republican senators like Susan Collins in Maine,
mm-hmm.
Tom Tillis in North Carolina, Martha McSally in Arizona,
right.
Cory Gardner in Colorado, mm-hmm. Joni Ernst in Iowa, like are gone,
mm-hmm.
and very possibly it'll be on top of that. Lindsey Graham in South Carolina is facing this Jamie Harrison.
I heard he was.
This
There's is a big contest. I mean, there,
that could be
right?
a major upset. Now you have to understand, South Carolina.
Right.
This is the state that where it was the first state to secede from the Union in December 1860, where Fort Sumter happened in April 1861.
Wow.
The state of John C. Calhoun, who was the pre-Civil War supporter of slavery,
mm-hmm.
state of Strom Thurmond, a state which already has a black senator, Tim Scott, the lone black Republican.
Right.
They get a black Democrat, Jamie Harrison. South Carolina would have two black senators. I guess the question and response would be, whoever would have thunk it? You know, I mean.
right. Who
so
right?
this is, you know, incredible. And
Lindsey Graham's not taking that too well right now, is he?
No, he's not. In fact, this Mr. Harrison is his personal story is very compelling. He's born to an unwed mother. His grandparents raised him.
Okay.
He ended up going to I believe it was Yale school and then Columbia Law School.
Mm.
So he's very accomplished.
Educated,
attorney.
Yes, yeah.
And yeah, he is. It's going to be tight. And
you say he's raised a lot of money too.
A real possibility Lindsey Graham could end up getting upended. Another one is Montana. There you have a battle between Democratic Governor Steve Bullock,
okay.
and the incumbent Republican Senator Steve Daines. Again, Governor Bullock is very popular in the state. Montana, big sky country.
Right.
And again, another possibility. And then the other one is Kansas. Their open seat in Kansas. Barbara Bull, who's actually a former Republican, now a Democrat in the state legislature, running against a Republican congressman. Kansas, the last time Kansas elected a Democrat to the Senate, you have to go all the way back to 1932 when FDR defeated Herbert Hoover mm-hmm. for president. And then when you have the other thing is, here the other day, or actually yesterday, Mr. Trump was saying about don't pay attention to the pandemic or COVID-19, whatever. That had been like Herbert Hoover tried to tell people back in the 30s, don't pay attention to the Depression. I mean, it's just
it's
bizarre.
It's a real thing, right?
It's
a real
yeah.
thing.
And so this is where things stand, and you know, those issues are out there. The other little item that was in the paper yesterday dealt with sign vandalism. I know some people might have seen the Biden-Harris signs
right.
down on Barks Road. Both of them have been vandalized and so forth. And there's been vandalism, actually, I think more have been on our side than the Republican side,
well,
but there may
course,
have been some
yeah.
on the Republican side, too. It shouldn't happen either way.
True.
And the bottom line is, when a campaign is resorting to that, that's not a winning campaign. I'll give you an example. 12 years ago, there was an Obama-Biden campaign up on Route 4 north of town.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about two or three weeks before the election, there was a paper item in the paper, it was in the picture, where someone burned it or firebombed it or something. And we know how that election turned out.
Yeah,
and,
that's
you know,
true.
And
that's true.
When a campaign is doing that, what that means is the losing side is frustrated by it. Whatever they're doing is not working. And so this is how they're striking out. And
yeah.
I just, you know, as I said, it's, you know, you've had, I mean, this has been happening all over the country, Biden signs disappearing. I actually get over in Medina County. This happened a couple months ago. Somebody who was a Biden supporter someone took their Biden sign or whatever, wrapped it in a thing, put it in their mailbox, blew mm-hmm. the mailbox up. That's a federal crime. You because it's a postal mailbox.
Right.
It's federal. You're involving the mails, and there the Medina County Democratic Party put out $1,000 reward for evidence for the person or persons that might have been involved with that. Plus, they called in the postal inspectors because, again, that's a violation of federal law to interfere with the mails. Mm. So, you know, those kinds of issues that are out there. And as I say, the early voting hours, and again, apparently I'm looking at some numbers I just was given a short time ago. I'm looking at them in terms of early voting by states. Texas, 3.7 million. Florida, 2.8 million. North Carolina, 2.7 million.
Already.
Michigan, 1.5 million. Georgia, 1.4 million. Mm. Ohio, over a million. Pennsylvania, 881,000. Wisconsin, 831,000. Minnesota, 746,000. Iowa, 486,000. Arizona, 484,000. So those are just some. I mean, again, probably by the end of the day today, I'm going to guess. Yesterday it was 32 million nationwide. I'm guessing by the day today it may be close to 40 million.
I'm sure.
And then wow. And those are numbers just. I mean, it's compared to 4 years ago. I mean, it's not. We're talking, you know, thousands of percent increase.
Yeah.
Because 4 years ago it was maybe 5 or 6 million, yeah. And now you're hitting 40 million. I mean, that's
already
just whatever. And people who had never voted before didn't maybe haven't voted in years.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. You talk about sometime an incident happens in your life that you remember it years and years later. And 82 election, that's what I'm talking about, 38 years ago now. It was a good Democratic year. It was 2 years after Ronald Reagan was elected president. And in the state of Ohio, that's when Richard Celeste was elected governor, first time as a Democratic sweep. Okay. I remember reading the Cleveland Plain Dealer about 2 or 3 days after the election. And some Republican strategists simply bemoaned the fact, he said, looking at the numbers and the fact that Democrats won these victories, he said, you know, the problem was, quote, this is a direct quote, mm-hmm. just too damn many people voted. And when you have that, you have to wonder, a party that is concerned about too many people voting,
right?
What does that say about that party and what their message is? And so that's where we're at on that. So again, those turnout numbers are just incredible, and they're going to continue to grow. As I say, I would not be surprised that half the vote in the country will be cast prior to Election Day.
Probably so.
That would not surprise me at all.
Why wait to the last minute? I think a lot of people are taking advantage of this now because Election Day. You know how they cut up and try to keep people from voting.
Well, there's whatever efforts were in that regard, that didn't work. It's not working because people are when they're standing in line for 6, 7, 8 hours to vote.
Already.
I mean, you can just, yeah. So, and people are concerned about, you know, what happens if something happens on their election day, they could get sick or whatever.
They don't want to wait.
They don't want to wait. They don't want to take the possibility they would not be able
cast
to vote.
Cast their vote. So, isn't that something? Wow. So, here we go.
Yeah.
2020.
Yeah, it's been quite a year. And frankly, I believe that Mr. Biden is going to win a landslide win, both popular electoral vote. And all this thing about Mr. Trump not accepting the results, I think by the election night or shortly thereafter, next day, he will be conceding.
Yeah.
Because I guess the Republican Party will tell him that, hey, it's over. We're not going to get into this anymore.
Right.
And it's time to throw in the towel.
Oh, wow. I know those Democrats will be shouting for joy.
And many Republican strategists have already basically in fact, there are Republican members of Congress who are trying to distance themselves from Mr. Trump right now. But frankly, this is a little late in the game. They're in what I would refer to as the Titanic mode. They're trying to rearrange the deck chairs on the sinking ship. And it's just a little late to...
Mitch McConnell, is he one of them?
Well, I'm guessing Mr. McConnell is probably going to get reelected in Kentucky, but his margin may be significantly lower. But instead of being the majority leader come January, he's going to be the minority leader in the Senate.
Okay.
So, Senator Schumer from New York will become majority leader at that point. Senator Sherrod Brown, of course, from Ohio, would become chair of the Senate Banking Committee as in the majority.
So McConnell,
That the Senate, it very well could end up with from 53 to 47 Republican, maybe as much as 55 to 45 Democratic, because I think Democrats are going to, because what happens is a lot of times these close contests tend to fall all the same way.
True.
And so the net gain could be 8-9 seats, and that's some are beginning to look at those kinds of gains. The House, I think Nancy Pelosi is going to have probably a caucus of maybe 250 or so Democrats in the House compared to 234, 235, what it is right now. And it's a large Democratic majority. And state legislatures, this is the other thing. A lot of state legislatures, I think, are going to flip over control. Probably not in Ohio, although Democrats are likely going to make some gains.
Right.
But probably not enough to get flip the control. And as I say, the scandal of Mr. Householder and trying to play a part in that whole thing.
So do you think they'll get her confirmed for the Supreme Court?
Probably. I'm guessing that Ms. Baird will likely be confirmed. I know the Senate Judiciary Committee is going to be voting on Thursday, I believe, on her appointment. And I'm going to guess that meeting is going to last a number of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then supposedly they're going to meet through the weekend. And I'm guessing Mr. McConnell wants to get this done by probably sometime next week. Now, if just two more Republican senators would say, maybe we should wait on this, I'm looking maybe at Mitt Romney, the Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska, who had a phone call or whatever to some of his constituents last week, in which he basically lambasted Mr. Trump.
Yeah, because it's not fair.
And, particularly what happened with the other senator or judge who's nominated by President Obama back in 2016.
Yes.
Never received anything.
No. So, nothing.
I think some of that's going to come back. Come back
to bite him. And,
well, and after Justice Ginsburg passed away, a fundraising group called Act Blue, I believe it is, in a matter of like 3 or 4 days, raised over $300 million. Some campaigns don't raise that in a whole campaign thing. They'd raise it in 3 or 4 days. People put that kind of money in to the campaign.
My.
And that's had influence in Senate races.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Mr. Cook was saying. He said that a lot of these, as he put it, attention was drained out of the presidential race down to these Senate races.
Right.
And that's where now a lot of attention is turning, and many Republican strategists are concerned they're going to take a real bloodbath in those Senate contests. So
it's going to be very interesting to see.
And well, it's going to be, we have, that's what we'll have to say, wait and see.
And President Trump, he was dealt some deadly blows with that pandemic.
Well, like I say, and the thing is, the Commission on Debate for this Thursday debate mm-hmm. has said that when the two gentlemen each are going to have like 2 minutes to make their opening statement, the other microphone is going to be muted.
Oh.
Then when they get to their general discussion,
mm-hmm.
the mic will be open.
Okay.
But I'm guessing at some point they could have the capacity to mute that if they start interrupting somebody. And supposedly Mr. Trump's campaign manager said, thought that was unfair or whatever. So, hey, people, stay tuned. I would not be totally shocked if Thursday afternoon Trump says, "Well, I'm not going. I don't like these rules. I'm not going to participate."
Debate. Might not.
Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. Because they say after that disastrous performance back on was it 29th of September happened.
He just took over. Yeah. He didn't want Biden to say not one word, did he? Not
well,
one.
He got his words and got his comments in, but yeah, it was.
Yeah,
people
he did.
Were not happy.
As after he sat there and waited till they could get some kind of order from President Trump.
Yeah.
But what do you think about Kamala Harris and Pence?
Well, she did well. I mean, she was generally did better than Mr. Pence did. That's also become an issue in the Georgia Senate races. One of her colleagues in the Senate, David Perdue of Georgia, at his rally here the other week, a couple of days ago. Almost made her something about her name, Kamala, and then he went on whatever, and some thought it was a very racist type of comment. And he's
probably
in a very tight race with John Ossoff in a kind of, and that's not the first time that race has had some overtones because Mr. Ossoff is Jewish, and there was an attempt here months ago to some felt a picture to try to maybe a little anti-Semitism going into the mix there a little bit. So
right.
But So it's and I say Georgia is a state that has changed rapidly. As our daughter and her family live in the Atlanta suburbs, the Atlanta suburbs have just totally transformed that state in the last 10, 20 years.
Okay.
When it once was.
Okay. So. On the Democratic side, or
just generally politics. Generally,
politics.
It's benefited the Democrats.
Right.
What's happened in Georgia in some ways is what's happened in Virginia, because Virginia was one time a Republican state,
right?
But the D.C. suburbs of Northern Virginia have just totally transformed the state of Virginia.
True.
And it's just made
it's
totally
changed.
Different. Yeah.
It's changed completely.
So.
Whoa. Those evangelicals are holding on to Trump.
Some of them are even departing Mr. Trump. Not saying all of them. Certainly,
right.
There's some.
They're preaching hard.
There's some cracks there on that side. So.
Yeah, they're preaching hard.
Yeah.
Vote your values. Vote for God. And they are.
Yeah.
They're pitching it.
Well, Mr. Trump's, some of his values people would have some problems with. You know, there was an old cliche during Richard Nixon's time, back in the 50s, would you buy a used car from this man? Because there were some things about Nixon's tactics. Some would say the modern equivalent should be, would you leave your daughter in the same room with Donald Trump?
Ooh.
So, you know.
I don't... I don't know, but here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go, Tim, for another election.
Yeah, that is. And we'll know here in a couple weeks what the results will be. So.
Whoa. All righty. We're having candidate night here at the
station. I know you're having that on Thursday. And, of course, the League of Women Voters had to cancel their normal candidate because of the pandemic. Now, they did have their voter guide out here the other day, on Sunday, which they were able to do. But, the candidate forums have had to go by the wayside this time, and it's been too bad, but it's the way it is. And hopefully, maybe by next year, this time we'll be back to normal. I don't know. I'm hoping. You know, as far as a vaccine, the numbers are all jumping or whatever. I mean, in this country, in Europe, but hopefully, maybe by spring, there'll be a vaccine available. And then, of course, even once one is satisfied or safety, it's going to be how do you distribute it, and that'll be a major issue probably this spring.
Yeah.
But get this thing under control.
Because they're telling people to hunker down for the next
Two or Ohio State months? Football is starting this weekend.
Yeah.
And there's going to be no nobody in the stands. There'll be no band. The teams will be on the field. The teams are pretty much staying in their little area, bubble, if you will.
Right.
Here you had Nick Saban, the University of Alabama coach, was tested positive last week, and then he got three negative readings and he was able to come back. But
whoa.
So those issues are out there. So.
Yes, they are out there.
And games that have had to be postponed because of...
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah. In fact, one of the elementaries here in Marion, Hayes Elementary, has been quarantined. I think they're on quarantine right now because... students and staff, some of the staff.
Yeah, one of the staff positive. Members.
Yeah.
So. I had Arusi, he was on the show last week, I think it was, and he was saying that they had to close down Hayes Elementary.
Yeah.
Because one of the employees came in, didn't know that they had it, and it's a mess.
Yeah.
Because one person gets in a crowd, it's a mess.
Yeah, that's true.
And how many...
And so you have these Trump rallies, and I think they're just big spreaders. That's what happened with the Barrett announcement back at the end of September, and end up all the people that got contracted it, that Sturgis, South Dakota motorcycle rally.
Right.
Just spread throughout upper Midwest. So.
Well, we are out of time, Tim.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming with your knowledge and your input on the election that's coming up November the 3rd. And those of you who have not voted, please remember that the Marion County Board of Elections Center will not be accepting early voting. It has been moved to 240 West Church Street, directly behind City Hall and in front of the Nazarene Church. So make sure you cast your ballots and get your votes in. I have to vote myself. So and don't forget, we have candidate night here at WWGH 1071 FM Radio, 7 p.m. October the 22nd. Thank you for listening to A Voice of the People. Linda Sims, and thank you again, Tim. Until next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique. I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret. And I thought that was too mouthy. Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it. Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end it doesn't matter, but it's just whatever you think.